Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You're tuned into Life is a Sacred Journey. Every week, we bring a new perspective to aging and caregiving. Here is your host, Michelle Pohl.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of you out there in the Life is a Sacred Journey virtual neighborhood. I am your host of Life is a Sacred Journey, Michelle Pope, and we meet every Friday morning with our tea, coffee, orange juice, whatever it is, our green juice, and we spend a half hour, sometimes an hour or less, with each other, with guests from all over the world sharing caregiving tips, as well as just tips on how to make it through the sacred journey health-wise and everything. We also have times when it's just me and you, and this is one of those mornings when it's just me and you. And we're pulling together, again, it's the long President's Weekend, and so traveling around the Bay Area this morning was pretty easy, I have to admit. And so welcome to Life is a Sacred Journey. Please hit the share button. Share this with everyone that you can. And let's share the good news about people coming together in a positive and fruitful way. I want to share with you yesterday that I had the opportunity of first two things happened for me yesterday. The first thing that happened and why we're going to be talking about COVID this morning is I had my second, not yesterday, Wednesday, I had my second vaccine shot, and so I want to talk about that and how I've been feeling with the second shot, because it is a little different than the first one. And then I want to go over what I have learned, or my staff and I have learned through the great work of the California Association of Adult Day Services. Every week they pull together in partnership with the Department of Health, Department of Aging, and ALE is a part of the CADS family. And this was a meeting that was, or webinar, excuse me, that was held yesterday and funded by the Archstone Foundation. So there was some great information in there about the tiers, when the shots are available, all of that. So I'm going to go over all of that, but I am going to tell you how I've been feeling. And then we're going to talk a little bit about sleep, because I've learned some incredible things, and I'm going to keep sharing my sleep diary with you just to give you a feel for, you know, how important sleep is. And again, maybe we can get on this journey together to get more fruitful sleep. So this weekend, I'm sharing my heart with you. So happy Valentine's Day to all of my Valentines out there. So this, I'm going to wear my, I wore my sweater today. Some of you are familiar with it because it's a sweater that I usually wear when I'm hosting and facilitating women's spiritual retreats. And so I'm very excited to be wearing my heart sweater. I don't get to wear it. I wear it once a year because I realized when I was wearing it a lot and washing it, my red was getting fady. So I'm only going to wear it once a year now. But that's good, good. You know, we should have seasonal, we should have seasonal holiday clothing too, says Michelle Pope. you know, sometimes in my head I laugh at myself. I told you guys that. I laugh at myself all the time. But let's get into our topics today. And so thank you again. I hope you all are well out there. And if you're joining us for the first time, this is Life is a Sacred Journey, and you have joined a community of people from all over the world who just want to learn about caregiving. And I had a thought in the car this morning. Okay. What if we all realized that we were caregivers, whether we're caring for somebody in that moment and phase of our life or not? What if we looked at each other as someone that we should care for in our language, in our tone of voice, in the way we walk with people? What if we did that? And so that is going to be, I think, my sort of hypothesis for Life is a Sacred Journey. Yes, Life is a Sacred Journey is about bringing in experts to teach us how they have observed or gone through caregiving with a loved one that's been ill or elderly parent. But at the end of the day, what if we thought bigger than that construct and thought that we were all caregivers of each other? So that meant when I came out of my house that I would have to come out with my best self at all times. The person that would look at another person with love, with regardless of their political beliefs, their color of their skin, their sexual orientation, all of the isms. What if we thought of that as caregiving as well? And so I just want to lay that on you to think about for and write in the chat what you think about that idea. You know, I'm in my head a lot. And now I'm in my head a lot more. For some of you know, I have more time to my I'm alone more. So I'm in my head a lot. I think about a lot of things. So think about that and write in the chat if you think that would change the trajectory of how we treat each other as a humanity. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Thank you. And then secondly, I thought I would love for you to help me applaud Felicia. So somewhere in your reactions or whatever they call those emojis, please give a hand of applause to Felicia. Because behind the scenes, you guys, I've been talking about this for a long time, but behind the scenes, Felicia and a group of other people, we're not alone in this project, have come together and we've created Michelle Pope Productions. And we are so excited. And in Michelle Pope Productions, there will be books. There will be women's retreats, spiritual retreats, opportunities for that. There will be the solo blogs will land in Michelle Pope Productions website. So it's a really great the book when you know and I've actually have 7 chapters. I've titled all the chapters, thank you, Carolyn Brandt, and really beginning to pull the pieces of that together, and we'll be working with people to help me to do that. And then Michelle Pope Productions is all about you and the opportunity to work with those of you out there who need a public speaker or want somebody to guide you through any kind of retreat. And so I'm excited. So a round of applause to Felicia, my friend, my producer, and the angel that was sent to me from above to help me dream bigger than I wanted to and to bring it to a reality. So if you have an opportunity, I think I can, in my thing, let's clap our hands for Felicia. Thank you, Felicia. I really appreciate you. And to her family in Moldova who are watching this, you seated a phenomenal human being. Thank you for letting her walk with me during this time on my sacred journey. So a round of applause. Thank you, Felicia. So now I want to get into the COVID vaccine. I'm going to start with my experience. So I had the Moderna vaccine. And I had my first shot a while back, right? I showed you my card, and I actually forgot to take my card when I went the second time, and so they had to make me a new one. But now I have my full card. I don't think you can see that there. Oh, there you go. My full card, and my first vaccine shot was on January 13th, and my second vaccine shot was on February 10th. The first shot was a breeze. It was a breeze. I had the shot. My arm, they put it in my left arm because that's my non-dominant arm, and it was a breeze. It hurt, and I felt it because I've been working out. I bought a punching bag just for upper body strength, and so I've been working out, and it hurt miserably. Okay. So, but nothing else. No other symptoms, nothing else. Then we go to February 10th, and well-organized second clinic for second vaccine vaccinations only of the COVID vaccine. I want to just give a round of applause and a shout out to the Castro Valley Library and all the volunteers, the library staff, everyone who made the first clinic as well as the second clinic extremely organized, and to the volunteer that stood beside me and helped me to get re-registered because my registration had dropped out of the system. So just thank you, and we all need to be thankful for those folks because they are volunteers. They're not asking to be paid at these clinics. So please just raise up them and a round of applause to all of them. So great clinic, in and out, no big deal. Again, sore arm, very sore arm, and it resonates. It's not just in the shot area. It's like right here, and it's in the back area. And then yesterday, so I was fine. Shot, came to work, decided to go home early just because I wanted to hydrate, take a nap because I hadn't been getting enough sleep, so we'll talk about that. Excuse me. And then yesterday, I hit a wall. And it was a wall of just extreme tiredness. Just, oh my gosh. So coupled with not getting any sleep, one of the side effects of the second vaccination and sometimes with the first, but it didn't happen for me for the first. And research is showing that usually you'll have a reaction with one or the other, or if you're highly sensitive, you may have a reaction with both, which I've had staff people have a really bad reactions. Nausea without vomiting and things like that. Okay. Yesterday, I hit a wall. I got so tired. Driving in, I was so tired, and I thought, okay, am I coming down with something? And then, of course, I went back and read again that is one of the sort of after effects. You know, not for everybody, but that happened for me. And I'm still feeling that way. I'm still feeling tired. I had a hard time getting into deep sleep last night, and I'm still feeling tired. My arm is sore, and that's getting on my nerves because, you know, I'm a physical person, and so that's getting on my nerves. But for the most part, I have to say, I have come through the COVID vaccine without any major symptoms. And I will continue to share with you if I think I am having symptoms. I will be honest with you and tell you, and I think I told you this last week, I am on a 20-day fast. I am doing the 20-day D-Herbs cleansing fast. And so I am on a fast. So I can tell that I'm expelling what I need to expel. My system kind of went into a, like, overload shock. It's like, what is this? What are you doing? We don't need this. Our immune system is fine. We got you. But, you know, again, you have to know your body and then know when it's reacting to something weirdly. And I know that it's making me tired. I know that I'm sore and achy. But other than that, I have no other symptoms. And again, I don't share this with you to say to you, I'm not gonna tell you that you need to go and get the vaccine, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because I do think it's a personal choice. I know that as a humanity, we all need to get the vaccine. We do. I know that. But I don't think I have a right to say to anybody, and I think that's where we get all life really twisted, when we start telling people what to do instead of advising them and giving them the information that they need to make the best decision for them. And so the best decision for Michelle Pope, after much prayer, discernment, deep breaths, and just putting my hand in the higher power, because I was afraid to take the vaccine. I'm copping to it. I'm sending it out there for all those healthcare professionals who think it's a slam dunk for everybody to go just get the vaccine and are not giving enough time to those folks that really are living in fear of the vaccine and the system that is administering it. We need to take time to understand the people that we serve, and I think we talked a little bit about that last week. So that's where I am with the COVID vaccine. I'm drinking a lot of water. One, I'm fasting. I'm drinking a lot of juice, and I'm taking, I think I was going to, oh, I did bring them. I'm taking like 7 bottles of vitamins, and so that's what I was trying to explain to you when I was talking about fasting a week ago or last week, or yeah, a week ago, because we were with Wanda. Thank you, Wanda, for visiting us last week. That I take vitamins and minerals because I'm on a raw food diet, and when you're on a raw food diet, you don't get as many minerals and things that you need. So there's certain things that you have to do in order to ensure that you don't just crash and burn in your whole little body. So take care of yourself, dear ones. I still have to wear a mask, I was told. What I was told is I still have the capability of transmitting COVID, and until I think it was 10 days, and that now I have a 10-day window until the second vaccine actually kicks in and does what the second vaccine is supposed to do. But I will keep you abreast of my symptoms or lack of symptoms or how I'm feeling as we move forward. And, you know, I hope whatever information I give you helps you to, discern what's the best choice for you. Okay? All right. So I'm going to talk about the COVID vaccine and what's happening in the state of California. And many states mirror what we are doing, but not all. So if you're watching in another country or you're watching in another state, please go to your Department of Public Health website and figure out where you are in the tiers and the phases. The language is the same, but it may be very different for you. As well as in California, realize that your county may be doing something very different than the whole entire state. And this comes in when we're talking about opening different places like schools and faith-based buildings and all of that. And so there's more to it than having permission to open up. That, you know, there's so many steps. I have become a COVID czar over here at Alzheimer's Services of the East Bay, keeping all of my patients and or participants and my staff safe. And the reality is it has cost us a lot of money to do that. And that is the reason that our Fremont site is not open because, one, we would have to double that money, and that would take it to about $15,000 because we spend about $7,500 here to become COVID safe with ultraviolet lights and hand sanitizer things on the wall and air purifiers, the upgraded hand wipes to wipe everything down. So it's not just opening your doors. And then if you have a population that is in the elder, that are living out their elderhood, you have to be even more super vigilant about whether or not they've had the vaccine, who they're going to worship with, or who they're going to get their hair cut with, or who. So you may want to think about having special times and grouping people in that way so that you're not exposing them. You're still going to have to do 6-foot distancing. You're still going to have to provide masks and maybe do temperature checks and all of those things. So it is so important that we remember that the vaccine is just one step to the eradication of COVID in our community, and if we may never really get rid of it. So let's not keep trying to force, you know, opening things and making things happen. I know our income, gone. But at the end of the day, we're not sick either, and those of us that have been working are not dying. And so I just think that we need to be careful about how we think about opening up things and just be careful, just be mindful when you do it. And I'm not saying don't do it, you know, because we always go so negative. We've been taught, ooh, nobody said don't open. What I said was be careful and take everything into consideration. Do a checklist, have a plan A, B, C, maybe all the way to Z. But don't just willy-nilly open your doors and let people in who may not be practicing good COVID protocols. And then the next thing you know, you have, you're the center, the ecos for a continued pandemic. Okay? So phase one was healthcare workers and long-term care residents. So that was in January, around January 13th, when I got my first shot, where the healthcare workers and long-term care residents, they began giving them the vaccines. They still have not gotten to everyone. And again, listening to NPR and being in all the webinars and things that I'm in, the reality is we didn't get the numbers, the amount of vaccine that we needed to ensure that this phase one would be completed by the time we got to phase 1B. So there may be still some people living in long-term care facilities, and I'm going to try to get Nicole from Ombudsman on soon so we can hear about what's going on in the facilities and get ourselves up to speed on what's happening in the residence, congregate living. So we got, and then phase 1B is individuals 65 and older, education and childcare folks, emergency services, and food and agriculture. So now, but again, this also is as supplies allow. So the biggest problem that we have right now, my friends, is the supply, having enough to navigate through all the phases and to ensure that everybody gets vaccinated. I've been hearing horror stories of people waiting 1.5 hours on Kaiser or 1.5 hour on a line to get an appointment for their vaccine. But again, stay diligent and remain on it, because it's important that you get the vaccine if you are one of the people that has chosen to do so, or that you come in the phase B. So if you're in phase one and phase B, this is the time that things are happening for you, whether it's a clinic or whether it's a your own physician. I went to a clinic, again, and what they ask, you don't have to pay, but they do ask if you have private insurance. They didn't even ask me the name of the insurance, or they ask if you are, a senior and so they ask, but you just get it done. The only thing you need is a driver's license or some sort of ID that has your age and your address on it, because they are tracking and keeping a log of, and I hope, my thought was they'll cross-reference it against the Postal Service log or the census log to make sure that they got everybody that at least has a mailing address, and then they can go to DMV, and then they can go, and then they can go, and they can go, because at some point they're going to have to make sure that they have had a clear sweep across the communities, and some people are not documented, and so we have to also get to those citizens that are not documented. And I know some of you are angry that I use those two words in the same breath, but they're citizens of the human race. Whether they're citizens of California is irrelevant to me at this moment. We need to make sure that they are not spreaders of COVID, and we also need to not have people dying anymore. 420-something-plus thousand people, almost 500,000 people have died, and it's almost a year. We're almost at, we're almost at a year. And so we need to stop this thing and really put all of our energy in it. We need to be at warfare against COVID-19. So phase 1A is to complete immunization of all healthcare workforce and long-term care facilities. Phase 1B, tier 1, is to immunize individuals age 65 and older and working in essential sectors such as agriculture, food, education, childcare, or emergency services. And so the drafting guidelines, there's a drafting guidelines work group that continues to strongly emphasize equity in its recommendations and in the implementation of immunization against COVID-19. We're going to be pulling together the Good News Fellowship so that we can get some of this information out into our black and brown communities because we need to share what's going on with the COVID vaccine, again, so that people can make the right decisions and with right the correct information. In response to the drafting guidelines, the next group will include, but it won't be sort of limited to, I want to make sure I'm on the right place, yes, is the individual 16 to 64 with underlying serious medical conditions or disabilities that increase their risk of developing severe COVID. So that means people with asthma, COPD, but they're going to go further down the human grading that we grade our age by year. So they're going to go down to 16, down to that age, and up through 64 with underlying conditions. So if you have COPD, heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, any of those underlying conditions that weaken the immune system, make you more susceptible to COVID, then those are the places, those folks will be next, okay? And then it's crucial in immunizing residents and also correctional facilities and homeless shelters. So they will come after that group as well, that they've got to get into those correctional facilities and homeless fake places where people are really, it's rampant in many of our correctional facilities. And so we really want to make sure that we're doing a good job at getting the information out so that people know. And if you have family members or friends that are incarcerated or living in or folks that you serve that are incarcerated and in homeless shelters or unsheltered shelters, then let them know that their phase is forthcoming, and now it is about supply. Okay, it is about supply. So I want to also go into the fact that I understood this week that really our immune system is really what we're trying to keep healthy, and those of us that have asthma or other things, our immune systems are compromised by that chronic disease. And so there are things that we can do to really strengthen our immune system, and one of those things is sleep. And as I told you, my son gave me this Fitbit, not this, this is the Fitbit, and he gave it to me because, you know, I wanted to get fit, and this was a while back, and they have upgraded it, and now I have it not just to make sure that I do my 10,000 steps a day, if not more. I try to do more. The 10,000 is the minimal to health, and that's your usually 30 minutes. Actually, if you walk 30 minutes, you usually are going to put in almost 10,000, if not 10,000 steps. So that's where that comes from. But it also monitors my sleep. And one of the things that has been happening now that I've activated the sleep mode, which I didn't, and I don't pay, I don't have to pay for this. This is, I mean, you can pay for it for Fitbit to follow it and then analyze it and give you bigger reports than what I get. But I want to share something with you because I did not realize how I didn't realize that I am not sleeping, and until I started tracking this thing on the Fitbit. So last night, for example, I went to bed at 10:04, pretty late. I had a late meeting that went over, and I still didn't finish everything. I was reading emails that I didn't get to all day. So I went to bed at 10:04, but I was awake for 59 minutes when I went to bed. So it took me 59 minutes, that's 13% of my whole sleep I spent awake in the bed, okay? That's one. And then we go into our REM sleep, and I spent 34 minutes in REM, and I'll explain that to you in a minute. And then I spent 71%, 5 hours and 19 minutes in a light sleep, and then 33 minutes in a in a deep sleep. And altogether, that totaled to 6 hours and 26 minutes, and I got a score of fair. So that's because it's 70%. So what does that all mean? You know, and what? Why is that actually bad? Because if I look at the week, I had 6 hours of sleep last night, 5 hours of sleep on Thursday night, 5 hours of sleep on Wednesday night, 4 hours of sleep on Tuesday, 5 on Monday, and 3 hours on Sunday, okay, no matter what time I went to bed. So let's talk about that a minute, and I'm going to take a little bit more time than our 30 minutes because this is important, and I'm going to be watching myself and ask you to start to do the same. I'm not saying go buy a Fitbit, but you can feel it. I can tell right now that I didn't get any sleep. I feel it. I can see it. It is right there in my face. And so let's talk about it, what it is. And so when we talk about light sleep, light sleep is stage one. And this is the sleep that's choppy, shallow, and it says not restful. And this is coming from Michael Gardner, doctor of the Sleep and Health Research Program at the University of Arizona in Tucson, Arizona. And so he's a sleep consultant, and he's also the consultant for the Fitbit, okay? And he goes, it's a quick transition, it's not long, and during this stage, you're still hearing things, and you have a sense of awareness of what's going on. And your brain is slowly but surely deepening itself into sleep, but you're not deeply asleep. And stage two is when people talk about in the light sleep, we're still in light sleep, stage two of light sleep, is when you can be easily awoken as well. You know, you can hear something. It's the stage two, but it's not shallow at this time, and nor is it less important than any of the other stages. It's when your body is processing. I love this, and this is why sleep isn't so important to memory. You know, as we're talking about Alzheimer's and dementia and aging, it's light sleep is very important because it takes up more than half of the night. Did you hear? It's supposed to take up more than half of the night. It's when your body processes memories and emotions and your metabolism regulates itself. So that's why when you're battling weight, if you're not getting enough sleep, that's a part of the reason that you're battling. So it's not just your diet, not just exercise, but if your metabolism cannot regulate itself, it's almost humanly impossible to lose weight, okay? And there's a lot of body maintenance that goes on during this time. That's why you put your moisturizer on at night, because your body is doing everything that it needs to do to heal. And then deep sleep. During deep sleep, you become less responsive to the outside stimuli. So that's when I'm snoring probably a little bit, and breathing slows down, muscles relax, and your heart rate usually becomes more regular. Okay, deep sleep is very much about the body, and the thinking parts of the brain are largely offline. So there's no decision making going on there. Your muscles are very relaxed. You're not dreaming at all during this time. Your body is doing a lot of rebuilding and repairing. Deep sleep is when your body secretes growth hormone, and that's why kids sleep a lot. And why they should is because they're growing and they need all of that. And this is the sleep that strengthens your immune system. So when you're in that deep sleep, and what did I tell you I did last night and why that's a detriment to my immune system? Let's look at that again. I had 33 minutes of deep sleep. So last night I didn't fuel my immune system very well. So it's a good thing in other areas I did. But we're talking about total health. Carolyn Brent has told us that, right? Total health. And REM, if deep sleep is about the body, REM is about the brain. The brain is very active during REM sleep, yet the body is very inactive. It's actually so inactive, you're actually a little paralyzed during REM sleep. That's why when you're dreaming and you feel like you can't move, it's because you're in REM sleep. REM is when dreaming happens. And when your eyes move rapidly and your heart rate increases and your breathing becomes more irregular. REM is very important for emotion regulation and memory. Do you see? Every phase of sleep talks about memory, right? And you're clearing the brain of things that aren't needed, and that's where you have your peak protein happens then, and the cellular level of your brain helps you to rejuvenate, keep memories, and restore. And so Michelle Pope's going to be working on this, and I'm going to be sharing those results with you. I'm not really sure what it means. I don't know if it means I have to go to bed earlier, which, you know, I have some nights there where I did, and the percentages didn't change that much. I think I may have to give up coffee because it's a stimulant, and maybe it's really one cup of coffee early in the morning, and that's it. So I'm going to have to figure it out, and I will share those results with you because I know there's somebody out there, one of you out there, is going through the very same thing, and so we'll go through it together and we'll share. So the other thing, the last thing I want to talk about is don't underestimate the power of walking, okay? Get a walking stick if you have to. And if you even just have to walk around the block or walk out of your house, walk up and down the hall, whatever kind of walking you need, your body can tolerate and you can tolerate physically. But don't underestimate the power of walking. The Harvard Business Review magazine, which I read, had an article by Deborah Riegel who talks about the power of walking and its ability to help with sleep. Again, I told you I'm studying this now for my own and to share with you, but also with stress. You know, if you walk 3 miles a day, 2 miles a day, 1 mile a day, a half a mile, you will feel so much better. And I think that's something that I need to do more regularly. I used to walk every single morning, and now I don't get the opportunity to do that because I have early morning meetings. And it's too dark. I can't go outside in the dark. I can't do it. So now that the summer months are coming back, I'm going to get into that routine and then figure out a way to continue it when it gets dark because I just I have to be able to see all around me. I was raised in the urban area, so I learned you don't go out in the dark when you can't see what's coming at you. You know, I'm also very anybody that knows me, I love those movies. You know, I'm a slasher girl, and so the reality is my mind starts working when I go out into the dark. So anyway, never underestimate the power of the walk. Get up. It's a beautiful day today here in California. I don't know what it is like where you are. I know in Canada it's cold and freezy, but get your boots on, put a scarf around your neck, and just go for a five-minute walk. Just breathe the air in, and that's the other thing. Breathe, my friends. So before we close today, I'm going to take you through a three breathing moments, and it's a breathing exercise, and we call it breathing meditation, breathing prayer. And you breathe in three times an affirmation, and then you blow something out. And so I'm going to ask you to do that with me. We're going to breathe in. I'm the change I want to see. And we're going to breathe out so the world can be better. Okay? I'm the change I want to see. And breathe out so the world can be better. Okay, sit up. Take a deep breath in. I'm the change I want to see. Breathe out so the world can be better. Breathe in. I'm the change I want to see. Breathe out so the world can be better. Last time. Breathe in. I'm the change I want to see so the world can be better. Thank you all so much for coming to Life is a Sacred Journey. You fuel me. You are the reason that we come. We really appreciate you sharing this with everybody and becoming a subscriber on YouTube and any other place that you can. But more importantly, know that we come because of you, all of you, because we care about Oh, man, we care about this humanity as a group. You know, Michelle Pope Productions is not me alone, and it's a group of people that we're bringing their time, talent, and treasure to the place in order to say, let's make this world a better place now. We don't have to wait for down the line. We can make this place a better place now. It's imploded. It's all blown up. So it's time for rebuilding. And we can do this together if we do it without judgment, we do it without pointing finger, and we do it with L-O-V-E love. So have a great long weekend. Get your sleep. Go for your walk. And be safe. Thank you for coming to Life is a Sacred Journey. Have a wonderful day in the virtual neighborhood. Go out there and get some soleil on your skin. And know that the world loves you. And all we have to do is give it back. We're all little care bears, vibrating all kinds of vibrations. Let that vibration be love. Peace. Have a good weekend. Take care.